Good evening. I'm Adrian Sala, founder of Wikisleep. If you're among the thousands of people who listen to this podcast each week, you'll probably know that Wikisleep is becoming an app. The app will have a growing list of narrators, new content all the time, and fun sleep features all designed to help you relax and unwind. If you'd like to get access to the initial release of the app, which comes with an extended free trial, please visit wikisleep.com and join the growing list of Wikisleep fans who are ready for the app. It only takes a few seconds to sign up and will be super helpful for me going forward. That's wikisleep.com. Now, for tonight's story, Britt Buntaine reads to us about Typhoid Mary, an Irish-born American cook believed to have been an asymptomatic carrier of the pathogenic bacteria Salmonella typhi. Defiant of the science, she persisted in working as a cook and thereby exposed others to the fever.
Good evening. I'm Britt Buntaine. Typhoid Mary, whose real name was Mary Mallon, was an Irish-born cook believed to have infected at least 53 people with typhoid fever in the early 20th century, three of whom died. She was the first person in the United States identified as an asymptomatic carrier of the disease and was twice forcibly quarantined by authorities, eventually for the final two decades of her life. She died after a total of nearly 30 years in isolation. Mary Mallon was born in 1869 in Cookstown, County Tyrone, in what is now Northern Ireland. It is thought that she was born with typhoid because her mother was infected during pregnancy and she carried it asymptomatically. At the age of 15, Mallon immigrated to the United States. She lived with her aunt and uncle for a time and worked as a maid, but eventually became a cook for affluent families. From 1900 to 1907, she worked as a cook in the New York City area for eight families, seven of whom contracted typhoid. One of the first places she worked was in Mamaroneck, New York, where within 2 weeks of her employment, residents developed typhoid fever. In 1901, she moved to Manhattan, where members of the family for whom she worked developed fevers and diarrhea, and one of the laundry workers died. Mallon then went to work for a lawyer and left after seven of the eight people in that household became ill. Later, in June 1904, she was hired by a prosperous lawyer, Henry Gilsey. Within a week, the laundress was infected with typhoid, and soon four of the seven servants were ill. No members of Gilsey's family were infected because they resided separately and the servants lived in their own house. The The investigator looking into the outbreak, Dr. R. L. Wilson, concluded that the laundress had caused it, but he failed to prove how. Immediately after the outbreak began, Mallon departed and moved to Tuxedo Park, where she was hired by George Kessler. 2 weeks later, the laundress in his household was infected and taken to St. Joseph's Regional Medical Center. In August 1906, Mallon then took a position in Oyster Bay on Long Island with the family of a wealthy New York banker, Charles Henry Warren. She went along with the Warrens when they rented a house in Oyster Bay for the summer of 1906. From August 27th to September 3rd, 6 of the 11 people in the family came down with typhoid fever. The disease at that time was unusual in Oyster Bay, according to 3 medical doctors who practiced there. The landlord, understanding that it would be impossible to rent a house with the reputation of typhoid, hired several independent experts to find the source of the infection. They took water samples from pipes, faucets, toilets, and the cesspool, all of which were negative for typhoid. Later that year, Mallon was hired by Walter Bowen, whose family lived on Park Avenue. Their maid got sick on January 23rd, 1907, and soon Charles Warren's only daughter got typhoid and died. This case helped to identify Mallon as the source of the infections. George Soper, an investigator hired by Warren after the outbreak in Oyster Bay, had been trying to determine the cause of typhoid outbreaks in well-to-do families when it was known that the disease typically struck in unsanitary environments. He discovered that a female Irish cook who fit the physical description he had been given was involved in all of the outbreaks. He was unable to locate her because she generally left after an outbreak began without giving a forwarding address. Soper then learned of an active outbreak in a penthouse on Park Avenue and discovered Mallon was the cook. 2 of the household servants were hospitalized, and the daughter of the family died of typhoid. Soper first encountered Mallon in the kitchen of the Bowens and accused her of spreading the disease. Though Soper himself recollected his behavior as diplomatic as possible, he infuriated Mallon and she threatened him with a carving fork. When Mallon refused to give samples, Soper decided to compile a 5-year history of her employment. He found that of the 8 families that had hired Mallon as a cook, members of 7 claimed to have contracted typhoid fever. Then Soper found out where Mallon's boyfriend lived and arranged a new meeting there. He took Dr. Raymond Hubler in an attempt to persuade Mary to give them samples of urine and stool for analysis. Mallon again refused to cooperate, believing that typhoid was everywhere and that the outbreaks had happened because of contaminated food and water. At that time, the concept of healthy carriers was unknown even to healthcare workers. Soper published his findings on June 15, 1907, in the Journal of the American Medical Association. He wrote, "It was found that the family changed cooks on August 4th. This was about 3 weeks before the typhoid epidemic broke out. The new cook, Mary Mallon, remained in the family only a short time and left about 3 weeks after the outbreak occurred. Mallon was described as an Irish woman about 40 years of age, tall, heavy, single. She seemed to be in perfect health." Soper notified the New York City Health Department, whose investigators realized that Mallon was a typhoid carrier. Under sections 1169 and 1170 of the Greater New York Charter, Mallon was arrested as a public health threat. She was forced into an ambulance by five policemen and Dr. Josephine Baker, who at some point had to sit on Mallon to restrain her. Mallon was transported to the Willard Parker Hospital, where she was restrained and forced to give samples. For 4 days, she was not allowed to get up and use the bathroom on her own. The massive numbers of typhoid bacteria that were discovered in her stool samples indicated that the infection center was in her gallbladder. Under questioning, Mallon admitted that she almost never washed her hands. It may seem unsanitary, but this was not unusual at the time. The germ theory of disease still was not fully accepted. On March 19, 1907, Mallon was sentenced to quarantine on North Brother Island. While quarantined, she gave stool and urine samples 3 times per week. Authorities suggested removing her gallbladder, but she refused because she did not believe she carried the disease. At the time, gallbladder removal was dangerous, and many people had died from the procedure. Mallon was also unwilling to stop working as a cook, a job that earned her more money than any other. Having no home of her own, she was always on the verge of poverty. After the publication of Soper's article in the Journal of American Medical Association, Mary Mallon attracted extensive media attention and received the nickname Typhoid Mary. Soper visited Mallon in quarantine, telling her he would write a book and give her part of the royalties. She angrily rejected his proposal and locked herself in the bathroom until he left. She hated the nickname and wrote in a letter to her lawyer, "I wonder how the said Dr. William H. Park would like to be insulted and put in the journal and call him or his wife Typhoid William Park." Not all medical experts supported the decision to forcibly quarantine Mallon. For example, Milton J. Rosenow and Charles V. Chapin both argued that she just had to be taught to carefully treat her condition and ensure that she would not transmit the typhoid to others. Both considered isolation to be an unnecessary, overly strict punishment. Mallon suffered from a nervous breakdown after her arrest and forcible transportation to the hospital. In 1909, she tried to sue the New York Health Department, but her complaint was denied and the case closed by the New York Supreme Court. In a letter to her lawyer, she complained that she was treated like a guinea pig. She was obliged to give samples for analysis 3 times a week, but for 6 months was not allowed to visit an eye doctor, even though her eyelid was paralyzed and she had to bandage it at night. Her medical treatment was hectic. She was given urotropin in 3-month courses for a year, threatening to destroy her kidneys. She was first told that she had typhoid in her intestinal tract, then in her bowel muscles, then in her gallbladder. Mallon herself never believed that she was a carrier. With the help of a friend, she sent several samples to an independent New York laboratory. All came back negative for typhoid. On North Brother Island, almost a quarter of her analysis from March 1907 through June 1909 were also negative. After 2 years and 11 months of Mallon's quarantine, Eugene H. Porter, the New York State Commissioner of Health, decided that disease carriers should no longer be kept in isolation. He said that Mallon could be freed if she agreed to stop working as a cook and take reasonable steps to avoid transmitting typhoid to others. On February 19, 1910, Mallon said she was prepared to change her occupation and would give assurance by affidavit that she would, upon her release, take such hygienic precautions as would protect those with whom she came in contact from infection. She was released from quarantine and returned to the mainland. Upon her release, Mallon was given a job as a laundress, which paid less than cooking, $20 per month instead of $50. At some point, she wounded her arm and the wound became infected, meaning that she could not work at all for 6 months. After several unsuccessful years, she started cooking again. She used fake surnames like Brushoff or Brown and took jobs as a cook against the explicit instructions of health authorities. No agencies that hired servants for upscale families would offer her employment, so for the next 5 years, she moved to the mass sector. She worked in a number of kitchens and restaurants, hotels, and spa centers. Almost everywhere she worked, there were outbreaks of typhoid. However, she changed jobs frequently, and Soper was unable to find her. In 1915, Mallon started working at Sloan Hospital for Women in New York City. Soon, 25 people were infected and 2 died. The head obstetrician, Dr. Edward B. Cragen, called Soper and asked him to help in the investigation. Soper identified Mallon from the servant's verbal descriptions and also by her handwriting. Mallon again fled, but the police were able to find and arrest her when she took food to a friend on Long Island. Mallon was returned to quarantine on North Brother Island on March 27, 1915. Little is known about her life during the second quarantine. She remained on North Brother for more than 23 years, and the authorities gave her a private one-story cottage. As of 1918, she was allowed to take day trips to the mainland. Mallon spent the rest of her life in quarantine at Riverside Hospital. She was quite active until suffering a stroke in 1932. Afterwards, she was confined to the hospital. She never completely recovered, and half of her body remained paralyzed. Research by a reliable source led to an estimate that Mallon had contaminated at least 122 people, including 5 dead. However, the exact number is not known. Some have estimated that contact with her may have caused 50 fatalities. In a 2013 article in the Annals of Gastroenterology, the authors concluded, "The history of Mary Mallon, declared unclean, like a leper, may give us some moral lessons on how to protect the ill and how we can be protected from illness." By the time she died, New York health officials had identified more than 400 other healthy carriers of Salmonella typhi, but no one else was forcibly confined or victimized as an unwanted ill. Other healthy typhoid carriers identified in the first quarter of the 20th century include Tony Labella, an Italian immigrant, presumed to have caused over 100 cases, with 5 deaths. An Adirondack guide dubbed Typhoid John, presumed to have infected 36 people, with 2 deaths. And Alphonse Cotils, a restaurateur and bakery owner. The health technology of the era did not have a completely effective solution. There were no antibiotics to fight the infection, and gallbladder removal was a dangerous, sometimes fatal operation. On November 11, 1938, Mallon died of pneumonia at age 69. Her body was cremated, and her ashes were buried at St. Raymond's Cemetery in the Bronx. Only 9 people attended the funeral.